Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey, what's up? Dr. Tom here, and you're listening to The Positivity Effect, episode number 30. Happy Friday, guys. Hope you're having a great week, or you've had a great week so far. And let's jump right into it. Today I have on Joe Sanok, a counselor in Traverse City, Michigan. He runs a consulting website as well for counselors called Practice of the Practice. 2012 was really a difficult year for Joe. Really a maelstrom of life and of emotions. And out of that, when he came out of everything he had gone through, it forced him to make a shift in his life, and he had created Practice of the Practice. And he's going to tell you more about it, and we're going to talk a lot about it tomorrow. But today I got Joe on, where he's going to share a little bit about his story, and he's going to talk about 2012. And you can reach Joe at joe@practiceofthepractice.com. He's a very centered guy and was super fun to talk to. I got so much out of hearing his story myself, and I know you will too. Here now is Joe Sanok. Joe, what's going on, man?
How you doing, Dr. Tom?
I'm good. Welcome to The Positivity Effect.
I am so glad to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. And, you know, let's jump right into it.
Okay.
2012. That was a really big year for you. You know, there was a lot of things that you were going through in your life. You know, I was watching the video that your kind of entrance video on your website, which we're going to get to actually tomorrow, Practice of the mm-hmm. Practice. Kind of like talk a little bit about the practice, but then you mentioned how 2012, you know, your daughter, open heart surgery, you had cancer, the difficulties that you and your wife were going through, just so many things, like, a maelstrom of things that you were going through. But then also you opened Practice of the Practice. Like, it was like almost like a bittersweet type of year, I guess. You know, there were so many things, a big transition for you. So, you know, tell us, you know, what was going through your head at that time, and what was that, if you were to kind of come, not even look at it from a 35,000 foot view, more like in the trees, like what was going on at the time?
Yeah. So 2011, my mom had cancer. And so she was like wrapping that up. Like, things were finally like getting better. She had been in the ICU. And then 2012 comes, and it's like, okay, so we had a baby in 2011, like things are going to be good. But it wasn't. It was really rough. So we found out that my daughter needed open heart surgery. So throughout all of 2011, we kind of knew she had, you know, holes in her heart, and the thought was that it was going to be able to be fixed via catheter. So in early 2012, we go into surgery. She's, you know, under anesthesia. I mean, any parent that's been through that, it's just to let go of this baby and let someone else take care of them is just, it's just heart-wrenching. So we're thinking like this chapter is like almost over, and the doctor comes out after like way longer than he should have been in there. And he says, we found out that your daughter, her left ventricle has a stenosis in it. And so we couldn't do this procedure. And so you need to go have open heart surgery. And so in the midst of that, we're like, oh my gosh, like we thought this was over, and it definitely wasn't. And so she has open heart surgery in May of 2012, and like a month and a half goes by, and we get the all clear, like everything went great. She's healthy. She has a scar, but, you know, she's like, nothing's really like wrong with her ongoing. And we finally have this sense of relief where, you know, since mid 2011, dealing with my mom's cancer, dealing with our daughter, we have some closure here. And I think we had 2 weeks off, and my endocrinologist told me that my thyroid was enlarged and said, you know, I want to do some tests. It's probably nothing. And it ends up being cancer. And, You know, then I have cancer treatment. You know, when it comes to cancer, thyroid cancer is like cancer light. You know, it's not like I have a hard time even being like, I'm a cancer survivor, because like there's people that have gone through so much more. But, you know, when you hear those words, it's like, what? Like, I don't even know what that means.
There's so much. Yeah, there's so much attached to that word. We forget the power, you know, of a word when it's spoken to us.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, my grandma died of breast cancer, and so many of us have family or friends that have died of cancer. So you hear that word and it's like, is this a death sentence? But, you know, and then, you know, in the midst of all that, my wife has a miscarriage, our marriage, like we're just like holding on. I mean, anyone who's been through this kind of just trauma, you know, you get in really bad habits, you know, you just survive, you know, you drink that extra glass of wine, or you know, just kind of just go watch Netflix, or you get in those bad habits. And so a lot of that caught up to us in our marriage, and we had to kind of look at who we were as a couple. But then on the other side of it, like my distraction was launching this website to help counselors build their counseling private practice, which has like absolutely changed my life. So it's like 2012 was this crazy year where, you know, really as a couple, like I think we're so much stronger because we've been through all that. I'd never wish it on anyone, but I mean, isn't that always the case, that the things that often make you kind of the best possible version of yourself, it's usually through events that you'd never wish on someone, but you're really glad you went through.
You know, and it's part of the reason why, you know, I called this show The Positivity Effect, because it's really, when we're going through something, it's not about that idea that, you know, there's this utopia and you're going to have this, like, you're going to be smiling every day. And then when somebody calls you with bad news, you know, it's like, all right, I'm going to be positive, and that's it. And like, and I'm pretty sure, you know, speaking of words and the power of words, the word positive, when you were going through all that, was the last thing that you wanted to think about.
Right.
You know, you were going through all these things, but like, when we think of like creating this effect of what we do and what we're about and, you know, how we, it is a ripple effect of, you know, when we are now, whatever we go through, we now share it with the world. And we also, you know, for you, creating Practice of the Practice and the podcast and everything you said, like it was a crazy year, but also an amazing year. You're now, you have this avenue, you know, this outlet where you give back to the world, and you're, you know, you're not just the counselor in your own town. You're also connecting with people throughout the world. And
yeah,
that's powerful.
Absolutely. And I think it's that, you know, when you're in the midst of those things, you can, whether you use the term fake it till you make it or whatever it is, like, that you try to get through. Like, I remember I was at MD Anderson and it was a terrible day. It was the first day of treatment. I'm down in Texas. My wife and daughter were sick, so they couldn't come with me. I didn't have my support network. One of the staff there had said something super rude and just not acceptable. And I'm like in this mental tailspin of like, this is terrible. So I go to get blood work done and I sit down and I'm like, okay, what would I tell my clients? You know, I'm a counselor. Like, what would I tell them? I'd say, you know, even if you don't feel like being positive, like, just pretend to be positive. So I start looking around and I'm like, okay, like, that guy, he's missing a jaw. Like, I still have my jaw. Like, this old couple walks in. I couldn't tell which one of them had cancer and which one was just like really old and frail. This other person's like in a wheelchair. Like, before I know it, that positivity that was just like fake it till you make it, I was like, wow, like, I have the most treatable cancer. I have insurance that's going to cover almost all of this. I'm in Texas when I live in Michigan and it's being covered. Like, how did this happen? This is great that, like, I have so much going for me. And that's hard to get to that point. And lots of times we can't, you know, there's situations where it'll be months or years that you can look back and say, you know, that made me who I am. And nor should we force that in those moments or feel guilty because we don't feel better about having cancer. But I do think that over time, when you go through enough of these kind of rhythms of life, you start to realize, you know what, like, what's going on right now, like, I'm going to get through it. And if I don't get through it, well, who knows what's on the other side of life. So either way, there's going to be something that helps me grow as a person.
Joe, what was it like for you practicing, you know, having clients come in and they needed counseling when you were going through all these things?
So during that time, I had a full-time job at a community college. And so I just knew that it wasn't time to kind of jump into my private practice because we wanted the health insurance, wanted the stability of income. I was going to have some ups and downs with my thyroid. And then I was doing it on the side part-time. And so really, I think that I was pretty focused in just doing the counseling, being really efficient with my time. I mean, I don't remember any moments of like, wow, I was a really bad counselor during that time, or I was a really good counselor. So much of it was like, let's just like get in a pattern that I know I can stick with. So how many clients can I take on? What can I peel back from my schedule? And what's going to help me keep moving forward in my life? And so I think that it was more figuring out what was a good kind of calendar each week that I could live with. And then genuinely on the weekend, taking a Sabbath where it's like, I can just decompress and have time with my family and not be on social media or email, to just really rejuvenate for that next week.
When you started to take those Sabbaths, you know, where you were able to disconnect from everything, you know, from social media, from work, what was the clarity that you started to, you know, achieve in your mind, that space that a lot of people just don't have today because they're so bogged down by everything?
Well, even still, so every weekend I take a 3-day weekend, and on Fridays I do a little bit of email. But I get really excited about my work. Like, I'm working on, you know, a project right now with some people that like is really exciting. And so for me to turn my brain off, it's really hard. So usually it's the first half of the day, even still on Saturdays, I'm just fighting with myself. I'm like, I want to go work on that new ebook. I want to go work on that podcast. I want to go work on that blog post. And then, you know, my 4-year-old will be like, Daddy, let's play train. Daddy, let's do this. And like, it's still an internal battle. But then there's a point in the day, like I remember while I was sledding this last Saturday, we went over to my daughter's friend's house. I've become really good friends with the dad of that daughter. And we just sledded for like 2 hours. And then the girls played together and he and I sat by their fireplace and had a beverage together. And like, it's like, this is life as much as all the ambition that I have too. And if I don't create that space for this life to happen, I'm going to miss out on some of the most meaningful moments in life.
And, you know, we're talking about, you know, you said before it was that, wait, hold on. I'm blanking. I'm going to cut it here. I'm trying to think, there was a phrase you said before. It's gone.
That's okay.
It's gone.
It's no big deal.
Yeah. We'll get back to it. We'll get back into it. Yeah. So, you know, when you were going through everything, Joe, and you were right in the middle of it, were you focused on having, you know, focused on getting your body back in track, you know, or keeping it in track, you know, eating well, exercising, keeping those things in line, or those were also part of like the sanctum that you were able to kind of get through these things?
You know, I think part of it is realizing like, emotionally, there was so much going on. It didn't feel like a big time to like create major lifestyle changes. I did read a book called Anti-Cancer, A New Way of Living, that really talked about diet changes that can help reduce inflammation and reduce the likelihood of future cancer. And I implemented a lot more kind of veggies in my diet, green smoothies, those sorts of things. And have really kept that up and kind of each year tried to progress. But just kind of in life, I don't tend to make really dramatic changes all at once. For me, the most effective changes usually come in really small steps. Like, what's a step forward that I can sustain the rest of my life and create into a habit, more than, you know, I'm going to give up meat and I'm going to wish I had bacon every Saturday, but I can't because I gave up meat. Like, I would rather say, well, I'm going to reduce the amount of meat intake. I'm going to increase the amount of kale. I'm going to increase the amount of beets in my diet. Like, whatever it is that's kind of that next step for me, like that to me means that I can sustain those things rather than just make sweeping changes. But diet was definitely a huge part of what I've found gives me more energy and gives me more clarity.
You know, and it's like, just going back to what you said earlier about fake it till you make it, like even if you feel like you're not a person that eats those things on a regular basis, just start implementing them slowly, just kind of putting them in. And, you know, you don't have to just throw everything out. You don't have to stop eating the way you eat. Well, you know, you want to start to transition, but you start to throw little things in and then you're going to actually start to change your palate and you're going to want to eat healthier. And it's going to, you know, your mind is going to be clear because you're eating healthier and you're going to have more clarity and you're going to be able to, you know, approach problems in your life with instead of being reactive, you're going to be more proactive to your problems.
Yeah. And it's amazing how your palate just genuinely does change as you eat healthier. I bring up smoothies because anyone with kids, like if you want to get more veggies in their diet, that's the easiest way to do it. And I kind of played this game for a while of how green can I make my kids' smoothies? Like it started with just like a small, maybe half a cup of kale or spinach. And then I'd add a little bit more. And it was my wife that was like, this is a little too green for me, more than my kids. And now like my daughter, she's 4, almost 5. She helps me make the smoothies. She'll literally like just fill up the blender with like kale or spinach. And then she knows that we then add in kind of the extra things, like we might add some blueberries or some flaxseed or chia seeds and some lime juice. We add those things in, but now she's cooking. She could, you know, if she knew how to work a blender by herself, which I wouldn't recommend having 4-year olds do. But if she could, like, she knows what goes in it. She knows a handful of carrots, a handful of this, a handful of that. So that there's not much sugar, but there's a lot of kind of fruits and veggies in there. And you know, if you fill your body up with that first, and then you want to go eat junk food, you're going to eat less junk food. And so for me, it's been, what's a slow transition that I can make?
You know, and talking about creating a ripple effect of positivity, you know, whether it be thought process in our minds, you know, you're also doing that, you know, on a much smaller scale, right within your family, you know, on the way that you're feeding yourself. Because isn't it true? Like, I don't know, when you counsel somebody, if they, maybe that's one of their issues, they're talking about, you know, I have issues connecting with my kids or talking to them or getting them to eat healthier. If they see mom and dad eating a slice of pizza 5 days a week, they're not going to want to sit down and have, you know, a bowl of broccoli, you know, a bowl of vegetables.
Right, right. And I think that, I mean, so you end with the pizza, but if you work backward, why is the person getting the pizza? Usually it's because they feel like they're out of time. It's the more convenient thing to do. They didn't think ahead or meal plan on Sunday when they could have bought a whole bunch of things that would have helped make the week easier. And so there's this perception that fast food or, you know, pre-made food is actually easier for us, which in the short term it is. But oftentimes, if we just take that same amount of time on a Sunday or a Saturday and say, what do we want our meals to look like to have us take a step forward in regards to our own eating? It's amazing how really, if we put in that planning, that's going to help us eat better. And it's also going to help a variety of other things beyond just eating.
I was just going to say, how important or crucial is that for not just eating, you know, if it's planning out your day or planning out, you know, when you're going to fit in working out throughout the day, or even like, you know, putting your sneakers next to your bed before you get out of bed in the morning, so you go jump right into fitness mode in the morning.
Yeah. So for me, like, the biggest thing that I think I push is sleep. I mean, we know that anxiety, depression, all these kind of ways that we structure our life, that's harder when we don't get enough sleep. So every night I get 8 to 9 hours of sleep. And it almost seems like the more sleep I get, the higher my income is, you know? So it's crazy to see how much more productive you are when you're getting quality sleep. And so, yeah, that pre-planning, like, I put out my clothes for the next day every night before I go to bed, so that in the morning I can wake up, I can have clarity on what I'm going to do for the day and not spend that mental energy on what am I going to wear today. I don't check email right away. I look at my to-do list for the day and get those things done. If that's recording a podcast, doing a blog post, seeing clients, I'm going to do that before I get into that mental tailspin that email takes us into. And kind of the other side of it in productivity, I think a lot of people really struggle with how do you break down a really big goal? And I really encourage people to break down their goals into what I call micro goals or micro moments. Like, what are 5 or 10 minute moments that you can make progress on a bigger goal? And so if you want to make more income, so say you want to make an extra 10 grand this year, break that down by month, break that down by week, break that down by day, and then say, what am I doing to make that extra $45 a day? Does that mean that I'm going to work on a paragraph of my ebook? Does that mean I'm going to make an outline of an ebook? Am I going to start blogging? Like, what am I going to do to make progress in really micro moments that you can squeeze in, you know, in between kind of the stuff that you're doing?
What's something, Joe, that on a regular basis that you kind of employ this micro mentality where it really helps you, you know, daily, weekly, monthly, just achieve it every single time?
Yeah. So the easiest thing, like, everybody has, if they have an iPhone or even an Android device, they have a notes section or a document section on their phone. I, on my notes section, I have a today list and a soon list. And if I have a new idea, if I'm at a stoplight, I might turn on the audio function and just drop that idea into the soon list. And then my today list is going to be 2 or 3 reasonable things that I can achieve that day. So, like, today, it was to edit these 5 podcast episodes, do the intro and outro for them, and then get them kind of all exported. I knew that I could get that done in about 90 minutes. Why would I put on there something that would take 4 hours that I'm just going to feel bad that I didn't achieve? And so really, I think saying, what today can I achieve? And then having a soon list is probably one of the most effective changes I've made in my life. The other side is really blocking out your schedule and having things repeat. So every Thursday morning, I have a block of time that it says blogging, podcasting, and dreaming. And so it's a time that I'm working on that every single Thursday morning. I have my consulting spots that repeat every week, and that's where I fit in my consulting so that I know what to prepare for and I don't have to deal with a schedule that's all over the place.
I want to go back to that phrase, you know, that you said, fake it till you make it. You know, it was actually what I was thinking about before. And for someone that is all over the place right now and they say, I'm not, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not a planner. Like, I don't want to do something until I'm actually that. I don't want to, I don't want to put the label on myself that I'm XYZ until I can really get there. And how important is that for someone that is still in that, somebody that's still in their 2012, where mm-hmm. you were. To actually, it's okay to say that to yourself that I can, quote unquote, fake it till you make it, because it gives you the mental space to just start doing instead of saying I got to be perfect before I actually get to the point to do it.
Yeah, I think there's two things kind of that I see going on in your question. One is that when you're in your 2012, there's times that you just need to rest. There's times that you just need to say, like, there's a lot going on right now. I've got cancer. My daughter's having heart surgery. My marriage is falling apart, whatever it is. And really what you need to do is you need to just like go out to dinner with friends and just hang out and just reconnect with just what's it feel like to be alive. And then there's a point when you start to transition out of almost like that healing, like you got to just like heal your soul, heal your heart, kind of move past whatever trauma is going on, and say, well, now what do I want to do with my life? What do I want to grow something new? And I think as educated people, and you're highly educated, you seem to have really educated guests. I'm imagining your audience is brilliant. As people that are thinkers, we oftentimes in school would write a paper until it was polished. We would do research before it was until it was polished. If we had one comma missing, our professors would ding us down. If we didn't memorize some term in that Psych 360 class exactly, we got marked down. So we're trained to do things perfect and turn it in when it's done. And that's completely opposite of what works in the business world, of what works in our personal world, what works in just life moving forward. And more times than not, what we need to do is we need to stop being paralyzed by perfection, and we need to just start getting things done.
Guys, you listening? If you don't listen to anything else, or if you skip to the end of this interview, or you already have skipped to the end of the interview, just get things done. Like, have that minimal, the MVP, if you're looking to create something in your life, just get it started. Minimal viable product. Don't take imperfect action. And if you take imperfect action consistently in anything in your life, you'll eventually get to where you're trying to get to. Joe, this has been awesome. We're going to kick it off for today, but we're going to have you back on tomorrow. And guys, we're going to be talking a little bit about Joe's website, Practice of the Practice, and how he's kind of interwoven that into his local spot, and we're going to talk a little bit about how to level up in a competitive specialty.
Thanks, Dr. Tom.
Thanks, Joe. Take care.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together, we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.